Replay by Hannover Re. Expert insights on life and health insurance.
How primary insurers can navigate the complexities of longevity, which advancements in technology and public health are reshaping the approach to longevity, and why effective collaboration can enhance risk management strategies. Welcome to Replay by Hannover Re. I'm your host Susanne Loomis, and today we'll talk to Kurt Roland Rinke about longevity.
This podcast is for general information only, no professional advice, and is subject to change. You can find the full disclaimer in our show notes.
Welcome to our podcast, Kurt.
Good afternoon.
Kurt is Managing Director, Life and Health Analytics and Longevity here at Hannover Re and has been with the company in different roles since 1990. Throughout his career, he was instrumental in designing Hannover Re's Solvency II internal model for life and health reinsurance, and he transformed impaired and enhanced annuities into a profitable business. Hannover Re has since established itself as leading provider of longevity solutions. So without further ado, let's start with the fundamentals. How would you define longevity, and what do you see as the biggest associated risk?
Longevity pertains to living a longer life. While outliving the average lifespan of one's generation is undoubtedly a blessing, it also requires additional financial resources to sustain a desired standard of living during an extended retirement. The unpredictability of one's lifetime creates uncertainty regarding the necessary funding, which is essentially what longevity risk entails.
And what are some ways to fund retirement?
In many countries, life insurance companies, pension funds, and government programs play a vital role in ensuring financial security during retirement. They provide funding for retirement and guarantee that individuals receive sufficient support, even if they live longer than anticipated.
Well, that makes me think of F. Scott Fitzgerald's short story about Benjamin Button. So this fictional character aged in reverse, and he was in his 70s at birth. If you were aware of your life expectancy right from the time you were born, do you think that would change the way you plan for retirement?
That's an interesting thought. Certainty about my lifetime would clearly make the financial planning for retirement much easier. I didn't need to plan for an unexpectedly long life. Mm-hmm. However, somehow I wouldn't like to know if my life expectancy was rather short. I'd prefer to know that I'd surpass 100 years. Like my great-grandmother-in-law, who became 107 years old. In essence, I guess I prefer a bit of uncertainty about my lifetime, but not about the funding of a long life.
Yeah, that makes sense. And we should keep in mind that unpredictability of life affects not just individuals, but also the institutions that support them. So who really feels the impact of increased longevity, and what are some of the broader implications?
Well, in one way or another, everyone can be impacted by longevity, particularly on a personal level. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier that living longer is a gift, but it requires extra funds to preserve one's quality of life in retirement. Thus, longevity has positive and negative implications and might require changes in retirement planning or lifestyle adjustments. Beyond affecting individuals, institutions that fund retirement, such as governments, pension schemes, insurance and reinsurance companies, also experience significant impacts. Mm-hmm. Also industries that engage with consumers, the health industry, but also areas like marketing and technology, they're all influenced by the implications of longer lifespans. Like someone has said, it's not just about adding years to life, but also life to years.
No, that's nicely put. The effects of longer life expectancy on society as a whole are deeply interconnected. So at its core, longevity means living longer than most, which can be a blessing, but also a financial challenge. And this uncertainty creates longevity risk, impacting not only individuals, but also institutions like insurance companies and pension funds. I'm curious about your journey in this field. Take us back to your early days in the industry and tell us, what were some of the initial challenges you faced?
When Hannover Re entered the market of medically underwritten annuities, the biggest challenge was that actuaries and medical doctors needed to develop a common language and understanding of mortality and survivorship. Mm-hmm. simple questions like what constitutes a normal life in terms of average mortality, as referenced by mortality tables for annuitants.
And just to clarify, is it correct to say that standard mortality tables reflect the mortality rates of the average healthy individual?
Correct, correct. Mortality tables do reflect the average, not the healthy life.
Mm, okay.
Healthy is not average.
Mm-hmm.
Just because someone has high blood pressure doesn't automatically mean their mortality is higher than average.
Mm-hmm.
After all, almost everyone has some sort of condition.
Got it. It's important to understand the distinction between average mortality and healthy life. What additional challenges did you come across?
Well, questions like how can we translate mortality differentials found in clinical studies to our real world where information is gathered through insurance application forms?
Mm-hmm.
How does the situation change for different ages or males versus females? What is the interaction between the different factors influencing mortality? Interactions between different diseases, between medical conditions and socioeconomic parameters.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, how can we translate all that into a successful product and a sales process?
Right.
When we started covering pensioners in defined benefit schemes, the challenge was different. It was more to find the relevant non-medical features that drive mortality. I was surprised how substantial these variations can be. Even without considering the medical status or different ages or sex, mortality of two lives can differ by a factor of four.
And all of this just goes to show how complex this topic is. Kurt, you helped establish the longevity business from the very beginning and have accompanied the development over the past couple of decades. I'm sure you've witnessed plenty of change along the way, and one specific change that, of course, stands out is the rise in life expectancy. What do you think are the key factors driving it?
It's a remarkable achievement of the past decades and even centuries that everyone can expect to live longer than previous generations. A multitude of factors has contributed to the increase in life expectancy. Three major areas are medical advances, changes in behavior, and a better environment. They have all played a role. As examples, the discovery of antibiotics, vaccinations,
right,
and improved treatments of heart diseases, they have all been important contributors. Our life is so important to us that humanity has spent considerable resources on understanding the drivers of healthiness and longevity. In a way, science and education have been and will be the key drivers.
And how do you see technology and lifestyle changes and public health initiatives influencing longevity?
Technology has significantly driven longevity by improving disease, diagnostics and treatments. Just think of X-rays, the use of microscopes or decoding the human genome. And even outside the medical area, technology has made our life much safer.
Yeah.
50 years ago, 20,000 lives were lost on German roads. However, last year, there have been not even 3,000 traffic fatalities in Germany. Smoking cessation and healthier diets, such as the well-known Mediterranean diet, have also contributed to mortality improvements. Cancer screenings, mandatory diagnostics for newborns, and vaccinations are all examples where public health can make a real difference.
And how would this impact the product range and pricing, if at all?
Okay, pricing of longevity business is definitely impacted by the advances in longevity.
Mm-hmm.
Aging societies influence the demand for retirement products, leading to evolving offerings that better meet the needs of retirees. While life insurers previously focused on accumulating savings, there is now a shift towards products for the decumulation phase, allowing pensioners to manage their assets throughout their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Increased longevity may drive higher prices. What we've seen is that despite the long-term nature of the product, actuaries' views are often influenced by recent events, like the COVID pandemic or very high mortality improvements at the beginning of the century. This myopic behavior very often surprises me, and it leads to a bit of a cyclic pricing.
And this does highlight the need for more forward-thinking approaches. What are some innovative strategies that have emerged within the reinsurance sector?
In the early days, Hannover Re focused on reinsuring longevity risk of individuals with a shorter life expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
We played a key role in introducing impaired life annuities, enhanced annuities, or underwritten annuities, or however you want to call them. Over the years, we've expanded our offerings to cover essentially all longevity risks worldwide. whether for healthy or impaired lives. Mm-hmm. One important step was certainly separating the longevity risk from the asset risk, such that companies specializing on asset risks and companies specializing on longevity risk, for example, Hannover Re, can work together to the benefit of the total solution. Some companies have also developed innovative structures like insurance-linked securities to transfer longevity risks to the capital markets. Hannover Re has also participated in many of these transactions.
And then how are advancements in data analytics and artificial intelligence reshaping the way insurers approach and manage longevity risk?
When Hannover Re started reinsuring longevity risk 30 years ago, there was only aggregate data available about mortality of pensioners. Over the years, insurance and reinsurance companies have collected detailed data about pensioner mortality and have identified a number of factors that explain mortality. We call them covariates. With new machine learning models, we can identify the drivers of mortality and the importance of different factors explaining mortality. One of my first experiences was when my former university professor recommended that I use the software R to study the survival rates of a block of pensioners.
Was that in Hanover or during your time in Ireland?
That was when I was seconded to Dublin to help set up our subsidiary to write financial solutions business. Mm-hmm. An Irish colleague and I quickly got a lot of insight into the mortality of a pensioner portfolio. Today, this software and much more sophisticated models are used by Hannover Re's data scientists to get an understanding of the risks that we reinsure. At the end, this allows us to better assess the mortality or longevity of an individual life. Obviously, this doesn't mean we can exactly predict when a person will die, but our models are a very good reflection of the pattern of survival.
Well, that's great insight into how your Dublin experience shaped the models we use today. And looking ahead, what's your view on longevity risk management over the next decades?
As populations are aging around the world, the African continent being a notable exception, the proportion of people in retirement is increasing. This demographic shift requires our industry to address the diverse needs of retired or retiring consumers. There is a clear need to develop new products that incorporate longevity risk in different forms. Mm-hmm. Different societies have different needs for insurance cover that may or may not include payout guarantees or for covers that allocate asset risk and return differently. Our industry needs to address these different needs, requirements, products, and longevity risks. Mm-hmm. Reinsurers are open to develop new products together with primary insurers. And moreover, once the longevity risk is covered, asset managers can concentrate on maximizing investment returns without being unduly burdened by unexpected liquidity needs arising from extended life expectancy.
Thank you for sharing that. And shifting gears, I'd like to discuss another aspect that you mentioned in our recent Perspectives newsletter, and I'll link to that in the show notes, the importance of collaboration between different parties to achieve the best possible outcome. How can primary insurers work more effectively with reinsurers to tackle upcoming developments?
Bringing the knowledge and ideas of both parties together should lead to the best result. Mm-hmm. Hence, open and regular communication will help.
Yeah.
Exchanging ideas and reflecting together on past experience will create a common understanding and an agreement on common goals. What is best for the consumer or the member of the pension scheme? Mm-hmm. For example, primary insurers have a very good knowledge of the primary insurance market and their distribution.
Yeah.
This knowledge about distribution is necessary and very important. Reinsurers may have product knowledge from other international markets or technical expertise, but amalgamating all this in a collaboration is particularly helpful during the early stages before a new product is launched to a market. As I said before, sometimes the best ideas are created when people and teams work together.
Absolutely. Since you have been at the forefront of this field from the very beginning and given your extensive experience and expertise, could you share three reasons why primary insurers should consider reaching out?
Okay, number one, longevity is unpredictable. Supported by a slowdown in the mortality improvement trend and the impact of COVID-19 pandemic, longevity has proven to be a very profitable risk in recent years. However, longevity risk is inherently a long-term risk. And the pandemic I think, has shown how difficult it is to forecast mortality, even over short periods of time.
Yeah.
While many countries have recently experienced limited or no improvements in mortality, the outlook may be very different. It is impossible to predict longevity, and the risk will materialize over a long feedback cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, reinsurers offer advice to primary insurers, not only advice with respect to products and risks. In addition, reinsurers offer a lot of advice in other areas, like product design, claims or application assessments, analyzing past experience. So you can talk to the reinsurer on all different things. Number three, reinsurers are prepared to share the risk. Reinsurers put their money where their mouth is by accepting the financial risk that the unexpected happens.
Mm-hmm.
In their traditional role, reinsurers simply take over the primary insurer's longevity risk, with all the consequences like stability of results or reduction of required capital for the insurer. At Hannover Re, not only do we consult regarding pricing, but we also take responsibility when things do not go as expected.
Mm-hmm.
We listen to our clients and we want to address their needs, even if this requires more complex reinsurance structures and assuming new types of risks. Especially when an insurance company is looking for reinsurance cover for the odd risk, we can make a difference.
Well, great. Thank you. Those are very powerful words to wrap up our conversation. Today, we discuss the intricate world of longevity and its implications for the insurance industry. We spoke about ways for primary insurers to effectively navigate longevity risk and how understanding these dynamics is crucial for adapting to consumer needs while managing risk. Thank you for joining us, Cord. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Replay by Hannover Re. We hope you found this conversation helpful. And if you would like to learn more about longevity, check out Cord's interview as part of our recent Perspectives newsletter. It's linked in the show notes. Don't forget to subscribe for more episodes, leave us a review if you enjoy what you've heard, and stay connected with Hannover Re on LinkedIn. Until next time!
The thoughts, ideas, documents, and other content discussed or shared in this podcast are not intended to constitute any professional advice. Hannover Re and the participants are not liable for any damages resulting from the usage of the content of this podcast. For further information, please see the show notes.